Okay, this is Janet Welsh. We have present Mary Kay Porter, myself, Janet Welsh, Alyssa Van Langefeld, and Valerie Walton. Corey Markish and Rachel Butterfield are excused. And then for staff, we have Craig Black, Sherry Pace. Am I missing anybody else?
Linda
Horrocks. Okay. And is Ken Latham coming? No. Okay, so Ken is excused. We'll call the meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I can second.
Thanks, Valerie. Let's look at the meeting minutes from last month. Does anybody have any corrections, or is there a move to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mary Kay.
I'm a blank.
And do I have a second? Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Thanks, Alyssa. Okay. And
so then you would just call for a vote among the three of us if we pass it.
Okay. So call for
you can say all in favor. Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the remainder of our agenda really is to review our and decide upon our goals for this next year. And we're down two of our members, so I think we really should wait. Last month, we deferred to this month because we were down two members, and I think we should do the same this month.
Unless Alyssa wanted to talk about the
meetings. Yes, I would still like to talk about the
last week
conference. And then I think we might have a guest that it would be worthwhile to hear from before we close.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Before we move off of prioritization of the goals, Wendy was here last time, so you're probably here for her, maybe? I don't know. No. Last time we just brainstormed like a massive amount of ideas, but the task for tonight was going to be to look at that list. Is it maybe in the minutes? Or does somebody have that list? It's okay if we don't, because we're not going to do it today.
Yeah, sorry, I was getting conversation from this side.
Last time, when we brainstormed a long list of like potential things we could do for each of the areas of the committee resolution, and then one thing we would do today is go through that list and just prioritize which one. So would somebody from the city staff have that list that we could have up to go over for next time?
Yeah, I'll make a note.
Okay, thank you. And is that, or I can, do you, is it Wendy that I would email about that?
Sure, but I'm
are you sure? Okay, thank you.
And Linda, if you have any questions, I took extensive notes last time. So if you're...
I think it was recorded, so it'll be, and it might be in the minutes. I didn't look at the minutes, so. It might be there already, it might be all ready to go. I don't know. Okay, so for next time, that's how I think maybe we could just go through that list and like highlight.
Yeah.
And the way I see it is we're identifying goals for the 2023 year.
Correct.
And then separate to that, I think it would be worthwhile in our agenda for next time to just do a high level list of things we have done this year. I think Corey might come and present at City Council in the January, February window to say, hey, this is what the committee has done in the first year. And we have some really cool things that can be listed there. And then these are the goals we've prioritized for next year. Okay, so then the second agenda item, which was me, is last week was the Utah Leagues of Cities and Towns conference that they have twice a year, and it's for city council and city staff across the state all come together. And I attended a couple of classes that I wanted to review some information with this group to just share some of the content that I learned there. One of them was a wellness class that we've talked about this in our meetings previously, but there is a resource from Utah State University where they will send out a wellness survey. They've created the survey and they will collect data for our city residents. It's an online survey, so all of the city's contribution to that is marketing, that we just want to get it out to our residents as much as possible. They host the survey, they provide the data collection and analysis, so then they would give us a finalized report. It's fantastic. It's got a lot of well-being markers that are kind of standardized across the academic domain of it, like this is a university, and they would ask us the same kinds of ideas. So things like, how are you doing personally in your well-being, and then in 10 different domain areas, but then also, how do you think your city's doing? And then it talks about like the economics of your city, and how do you feel about that, and your ability to engage in your city and get outside and do all sorts of the same kinds of things we've been talking about. So I already talked to the lead researcher. Her name's Courtney Flint from Utah State University, and they are all ready to do this for us. They can do it immediately because it is a standardized survey. They just tweak it a little bit and then they give us the link and then we start marketing it and we can do data collection. So one of the tasks, Ken and I have been talking about this, one of the tasks for this committee is to decide a little bit of the timing for that. We could do it starting now, wrapping it up before December, so we're kind of avoiding the holidays, or we could choose to start in January. Now, in addition to just collecting information for the first time, like this is kind of the state of well-being in our city right now, they provide this as a resource across time. So we could do this again in 2 years or in 3 years and say, hey, look at overall, people are starting to recognize more access to walkability in this the city or senior resources in the city or a variety of other well-being measures that we want to prioritize in our goals. So I feel like this is a really important, valuable tool. That's the first thing. We've already talked about it in this committee, and we did kind of already agree that this is something we would want to do, but now we're right on that doorstep, ready to do it. So for tonight, what I would love is just solid confirmation, yes, from this committee, we definitely want to go forward. And then second question is immediately October, November, or starting in January? Are there any comments about that?
I would say start in November, because that would help us to make our goals for January.
I don't think we'll get the information in a way that would help us make decisions, because the data collection would go all the way up until probably December 1st, and then we wouldn't get a report, I would guess, until January, and I'm hoping we have our goals for next year at our next meeting. So yeah. I think that that's really, that would help if those could dovetail together, but I'm not sure that we could do that.
I think it's a great idea. I just have one question, like how do they deploy it? Do they need email addresses, or is it just out on the city website?
That's a good question. So the marketing for the survey is completely at the city's discretion. It is a link, and so the city can post it on their social media pages, which they should do. We can send it out to emails if we want to do that. We could send postcards to residents with the link on it so that we can say, go here, even if they're not accessing it originally from an online format. We could send notices out in the newsletter. We could send notices out with utility bills. Like the marketing of it is completely up to the city. The university doesn't provide any of that marketing, nor do they really care. Their goal to kind of get responses that are able to be compared over time is about 350 responses, regardless of the size of the city. So even though that might be a lower or higher response rate for our particular city with our particular size, if they get to that about 350 threshold, they feel mm-hmm. confident like this is a good representation of what we can see in the city.
How is it marketed to apartment dwellers who they don't directly get a utility bill? So how would the city get that information to them?
I actually think utility bills would be on the lower effectiveness options. I think direct social media content would be much higher in the list of how we would access residents. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of apartment dwellers are on the internet, and the city has an email list. They could send it out to their email list. It can be in the newsletters that are going out. So I think online is actually our number one marketing strategy. Okay. Any mailing that we decided to do would be second or tertiary in okay. kind of effectiveness.
So Linda, I just had a question for you. So what media have you found most successful, most effective for feedback?
Interesting that you would ask, because I attended also a great class on communication and social media at this conference last week. But, and I'm going to just use this as a great chance to plug reaching out to the residents and getting them to give us their contact information and sign up for the newsletter. There's just such a big group of any city that isn't on social media, even though that's where we probably do our biggest push. But I try and send everything out in the newsletter, and then if people will sign up for city notifications through the website, and I know we've talked about it before, but really that's the best way. Even like you mentioned utility bills, but so many people have gone to paperless billing, so they don't even see it through the utility bills. So that's kind of what we need to do, is really we'd hit it from all the different directions. That's kind of, in this class, was like you've got the paper mailings, direct mail, the websites, if you can do robocalls for really important things. You know, you just have to kind of hit it in all directions because of the demographics of the city. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. I personally am in agreement. I think we should do it. I think if we're not going to get the information in time to help us set any major goals, that there's no problem with waiting until January, because then we can hammer out exactly how are we going to deploy it, and we can let it run longer if we feel like we're not getting enough responses, and then we don't feel like we have to get it done by December 1st.
Sorry. I was just actually thinking, as I've seen surveys roll out, that it's always really helpful to see how they've rolled out previously. And so if we were able to look at something like that, sometimes I think it helps us guide the way that we would want to roll it out.
That's a great idea. So I think maybe January would be a better option, because it allows the city to put some effort into making like a marketing plan to roll it out. And then Bountiful City just recently did this. They finished up their data collection in September, and so we have a really local example that the city can choose to contact if they want. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that I think can conclude that part, that yes, we want to do this, roll it out in January, and I will continue to work with Ken and the city staff to move that forward. Okay, the other class that I wanted to report on was a class on, they called it Complete Streets. And the idea is that a complete street, were you at the, they had a planning lesson, it was a big lunch meeting as well, but then I went to the specialized session. The idea of the complete streets is that they are complete for multi-users. And so a complete street allows people to walk there and ride bikes there and drive cars there and do a variety of things, that streets are not only built for cars, and that we should design streets in our city so that they have multi-use in this way. We've talked before in this group about how we want to support walkability. We want to support people getting outside and getting exercise. The city is in the process right now of revisiting their active transportation plan. So that would be a plan for people walking and riding bikes around the city. And so that is just another topic that we could sound in to those that work with the staff and with the city council, in saying, you know, it really matters to us that our streets feel walkable, or that bikes are feel safe when they're driving through different areas in the city. So that's maybe something that we visit when we talk about our goals, that maybe in 2023, a review of complete streets or walkability or bike safety in the city is something that this committee really values and wants to put as mm-hmm. a top priority. Those are the two that I really wanted to report on. Are there any questions about those, or any bits that you would like to add or sound in on either the wellness survey or active transportation?
No, I'm particularly interested in the active transportation one, because I want bikeable mm-hmm. major thoroughfares, and right now it's, you kind of taking your life in your hands riding down Redwood or 89 or
I agree.
Those major thoroughfares.
And there's kind of two different strategy approaches to this. One is to look at the need and then design the street based on the need. But I think that is not the best strategy when it comes to biking, because I think people don't bike because it doesn't feel safe.
Exactly.
So then the second strategy is like, you build it, then they will come. And so you build bikeable lanes, and then people will start biking. So it's not, oh, so many people are biking, we need to build these lanes. It is, people don't want to bike because they don't feel safe. But if we make a place where they can feel safe, we'll see people biking. I share that same feeling. An additional part of that review for the active transportation plan is the city is in the process of doing a targeted review around the elementary schools in the city. The junior high, for the city is not in the city. Neither junior high that our residents go to are actually in North Salt Lake. Neither are of the high schools that our students go to are in North Salt Lake. So elementary schools are really the ones that we can focus on. And elementary school is a time where people do have the ability to walk or bike to school in a way that's different from their junior high or high school. So the city is currently in the works of reviewing a walkable area around each of our elementary schools to make sure kids can bike, kids can walk and feel safe, and that gets kind of an extra priority in the walkability and the safety, which right. I think is a cool piece too.
Yeah, we have two schools on Cutler, and I can't imagine any parents letting their kids ride their bike down Cutler.
Why is that?
Because there's so many cars parked along the side, and during pickup and drop-off times, they're double parked because there's people parked, and then there's people standing, waiting for their kids to come. And I don't even like to drive it during those times because, you know, people step out from between cars and things like that. So it's kind of not the best situation for kids on bikes.
And those two schools in particular have a lot of car traffic. I don't think the bulk of their student body comes from the neighborhood right around them because they're charter schools. So I do think there's less of a push for people to bike because I think they probably don't live in a bikeable area, but that is a really fair observation. And one thing I've talked about is the idea of striping one side of the street red for a bike lane and the other side can still be parked cars.
Yeah.
But there are pros and cons to doing that as well.
Yeah, but I totally agree. I mean, even just for the safety of drivers coming down, sometimes it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Just going to Lee's, you know. For me, it's a little back way jaunt, but I'd almost prefer to ride my bike than to drive and just ride on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But, okay. Does anybody else have any commentary?
So I guess I'm just trying to figure out what we would deal with that, because, I mean, wouldn't streets and planning commission be more involved with...
So the way I see it is that we're more of a goal-oriented push. So we would say in the Health and Wellness Committee for the city, we think active transportation matters and we want residents to feel like they can travel safely on their bikes and walking. And then we would like the city to review that. So I don't see us in the nuts and bolts of that very much unless we have particular areas like this particular school or a street that you know of that you could sound in on. But I don't really feel like that's what we would have to do. Probably when the active transportation plan is drafted, we would review it and then just kind of say like, oh, yes, this is hitting what we wanted. We wanted it to feel, you know, easier to walk, and then give our approval. So I see this more conceptually than in the nuts and bolts of it.
Right. And I think, you know, I think from a cyclist point of view, the main thoroughfares are the areas of focus because you can ride through almost any of the neighborhoods pretty safely. It's the main thoroughfare. It's getting there is the problem. And or getting from your home through those areas to another area. So Center Street, the full length of it, 89, Redwood, and 1100 North are the major points that are a problem. So, okay. And lastly, we have several guests here. Do you have anything you would like to share with the committee?
I will introduce Conrad Jacobson and his wife if for just a minute. We had talked previously in our committee about senior services in the city and that is something that we see as potentially a goal for this committee to also prioritize. So Conrad coordinates the senior lunch bunch that meets once a month in the city, and there is some transition happening right now with that group where they'll be getting some funding to kind of be a little bit more directed. It's a lunch group right now where they get together, and the lunch is kind of a potluck so far, I think it's been, and if you'll maybe update us on that. For this Wednesday, I've coordinated a speaker to come to the lunch bunch from the county to give an overview of county services. One thing we've talked about in this committee is that we don't want to duplicate services that are provided in other jurisdictions, but we as part of the county have access to these services. So if any of you are available, it's October 12th, this Wednesday at 11. It's only a 20-minute presentation right at 11. You're welcome to come. And of course, don't feel like it's the middle of the day. I know we have lives and jobs and stuff, but that would be an overview of like, here's what the county's offering. And then hopefully we can get some feedback from the senior lunch bunch to know where this committee could also prioritize that. All right, Conrad, thank you.
Our interest has been to find out who you are and what you can possibly do for the senior population in the community. Regarding safe streets, I would guess that I know more about street safety and walkability of the streets than anybody else here in the city, because I walk them every day. I rarely feel endangered in doing so. And in fact, I find less danger walking in the street than I do find walking on the sidewalks. So sidewalks are not the answer, and heaven forbid that North Salt Lake should go the route of Salt Lake City and start putting parking lanes with bike lanes on the right side of the parking lanes and all of the other permutations that they're doing that confuse older people like us and don't contribute at all to safety, in my view, but rather make it even more impossible for bikes and cars to share the street at the same time. We have scooters introduced into the city now, and that's a whole nother issue on safety. But to bring it back to what Elisa was saying, we're interested in what we can do to protect the seniors in the city and increase the livability of the city for seniors. Elisa is partially correct. Our senior lunch bunch in the past, we've done in a rotational basis a bring your own sandwich day, which we're doing this week. Next month traditionally would have been a city furnished meal. And then we do a potluck on the third ones, and we just do a rotation on that, and it has worked fairly well for us. When we started this 12 years ago, I think it was, Linda, does that sound about correct? Yeah, I think it was when I came back on the council after my first tour. We were younger. And we could do more. And the core group that we deal with has aged over time. We don't limit the age. I told the city council last week that being seniors is something that's self-identifying rather than something that we prescribe or proscribe by an age limit. So I would expect that all of you could qualify yourself as seniors and come and enjoy a lunch together. And we always have something like Elisa has arranged for this month, where we have someone come in and do a presentation. Or last month we had a male trio of folk singers provide entertainment. And
Were you one of them?
No. You have to be able to sing, Linda. We've had Chief Black on a couple of occasions fearlessly come in and talk to us. And Ken has talked to us, and we've had the mayor. Well, we haven't had the new mayor yet. He's always busy on Wednesdays. I think he schedules that just so that he doesn't have to face our group. Anyway, we have a good time. And then we play bingo. And everybody wins in bingo, so it's not the kind of bingo where one person is going to walk away with all of the prizes, because we bring small prizes and everybody takes a prize home with them too. So that's kind of how our senior lunch bunch goes these days. we need to spread the word. We need younger people coming in and being part of our group. Linda does a good job of trying to advertise it, and we try to market it a little bit as well along the way. Not always as successfully as we would like. So as you, as a committee discussing the health and welfare of the city, I would just ask that you consider the needs of the semi-ambulatory members of the community as well, those of us who, unlike me, can't get out and walk 5 miles every morning along the city streets. And there are more of our seniors that participate in the senior lunch bunch are of that ilk rather than myself. Mm-hmm. So consider the seniors.
I have a question for you.
Yes,
my mother's 88 and she can't drive anymore, so she can only go somewhere if I can take her. Do you see that there's a real need for transportation for seniors in a similar situation to be able to get to some of these activities?
Janet, I'm sure that if we had some younger drivers providing transportation for the more shut-in type of our seniors, we could attract more here. Okay. And as we transition to the city financing and being willing to furnish a meal for us once a month rather than us doing the potluck and the bring your own sandwich type of thing, I'm sure we'll also attract more people. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good idea.
Okay.
Conrad, would it be helpful for your November senior lunch bunch if we did a brainstorming session with the group and said, hey, what is it that would be helpful from the city? And we could bring in a whiteboard and just make a giant list. Do you think people would want to sound in on those things, or do you think they feel like they want those things too?
We could do that for a few minutes.
I think that would be really helpful for this committee.
I do too.
Yeah, I think we want to be helpful, but aren't maybe sure exactly where to focus those resources. So to get that feedback to prioritize would be really helpful.
Right, and I think until you're actually in the situation yourself or have a close loved one that you're caring for, all of those opportunities are totally missed. I mean, we don't see that what we could do. So,
do you have any direct requests or recommendations for what you would want this committee to prioritize?
No.
Okay.
No. I leave that up to you at this point. We can do the brainstorming and maybe come back with some ideas for the committee.
Do you want us to plan for that for November? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. And it can be short. I think once you start to get into the November and December dates, people really just want to have socializing and not so much business.
Well, and that's the whole idea of our senior lunch bunch. We have a lot of people who, frankly, this is their only time out socializing during the course of the month is when we get together for a couple of hours on the second Wednesday of each month.
And if in November we're going to ask them to brainstorm, I think in the October one this week, we should tell them so they have an opportunity to think about it ahead of time and maybe make a list of the things that they think would be helpful. I think if we hit them cold, I mean, it's less productive when you hit people cold.
So, Elisa, you're planning to be there Wednesday, right?
Yes, I'll be there Wednesday.
So if you want to make a real short presentation on that I would love that.
Great. I'll do that when I introduce the speakers.
If they can hear it from someone other than my melodious tones, that's always an advantage.
Yes, and then I can be there in November as well to lead that brainstorm session. And I'll invite Lisa if Lisa wants to come be a part of that too.
Okay.
And the rest of you would be invited to that in November as well. The third Wednesday?
Second Wednesday,
November at 11.
Okay.
You're always welcome to come and visit us.
I will second that as well. I've been to a senior lunch bunch a handful of times, and it is so warm and inviting, and it feels like going home to your grandparents' Thanksgiving with like 40 grandparents. They're all so nice.
No, no, come on. We're not that old. Parents.
You're right.
I'm probably no older than twice as old as most of you here, so.
That is my parents, you're right, that's fair. But the feeling of that, like coming home to someone who wasn't my parent but is familiar, that is more what I mean when I say grandparents. Like, these are people who, in your grandparents, should care about you, but maybe they're not in your everyday life, and that's how it felt like, oh, these people care about me, even though I'm not in their lives, and it felt really wonderful.
Well, then the grandparents never see all of your spots. So grandparents can be kind and loving because you go home and don't make noise.
Thank you. This is really helpful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to add?
Is there anything that we as committee members could do to help make next month priority and goal setting more effective? Are there things that I've been in meetings before where it's very helpful to have something to react to or respond to? Like, it's not put forward as this is how we're going to do it, but it's just helpful to have something that has kind of like a initial conversation starter. I don't know how to say that better.
I agree. I think that this master brainstorm list that we started last time, if we can get that in advance and have everyone have tasked with reviewing it, so mm-hmm. you come to the meeting with, you know, I've got five things on here that I really love before we even get started. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, and then I was also thinking, and I apologize for not being at the last meeting, so this might not be a relevant comment, but I really appreciated the public comments and thinking about kind of the health of the community, recognizing different needs that different age ranges in the community will have. And so when we're prioritizing things, maybe thinking about where there's gaps in the system for certain age ranges, or gaps where maybe something's not offered at the county level, so it's really helpful to have it at the city level. I guess what I'm saying is sometimes I think we prioritize things more straightforward, and we really need to kind of think about the underlying kind of context of it as well.
I think that's really good. And as we start prioritizing things, it might be helpful for us to, on each item, just open up that thought and say, okay, who are we missing? Mm-hmm. What resources are already there? And then now we'll add in what we feel like we can add.
And I think really we should table that part of, you know, talking about our methodology to when our two other committee members are here, so that they can also be on board with that's going to be the process and how we prioritize.
Absolutely. I might have one more quick comment. Sorry. Okay. As I've been thinking more about what this committee is charged with and looking at those helpful minutes from last month, I'm just going to ask because I don't know. But I know that when I looked at that list, I immediately thought about the social determinants of health and that lens of how health connects not just to kind of what we would traditionally think of as promoting good health, but things like our built environment, like our economic health of the community, like our social kind of network. And wondered if that might be something that maybe I'm the only one on the committee who is not aware of North Salt Lake already engaging in this, but if it hasn't been kind of part of this formal conversation before, my ask would be if we could have someone come in and talk about that and decide as a committee if that's a helpful kind of lens to help us think through our work. I'm just throwing that out there.
I love what you're saying. Let me add to this what I got from this conference and those 10 domains of health and mm-hmm. well-being that they will, because I feel like they touch on the idea that you're talking about, and that by doing the survey, we can then have some data about, first of all, what that looks like right now as a kind of temperature in the city, but also some areas of focus, like we're really low in this area or this area we're doing really well in. And I can't remember if I wrote these down. I didn't. But you know what, one thing we can do, Dr. Flint already sent me the draft of the survey that we can use for our city, and I can send it to you. And if you page through the draft, it will have questions on each of those domains. And so that would be a task in the interim. Look at that survey and see if those 10 domains feel like they're touching on what you're talking about. I think that looking at this really contextually and like who we're missing and some of those social determinants really can make what we do here very powerful and not just perpetuating the same systems that have been in place. So I think that's a fantastic idea. I also think I want to have all of the members of the committee sound in when we're making these decisions, and I think particularly when we're doing our large goal process for next year. But I don't think that we have to have a full fleshed out committee for every meeting. I think that puts pressure on people when they have to meet, where they feel like if I don't come, I'm going to delay the work of the committee. And I think it slows down the work of the committee, where we can be a moving body and people can come in and miss and it's okay, but we keep moving forward. So I think it's right for us to table the conversation for goals, because that is really one that we want to get as much feedback as possible. But in general, I think it's okay if we miss and kind of keep charging forward without pausing the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think once we have a basic framework of what we're going to work under, then people can come and go as, yeah, you know, as necessary for life. Okay, so we will table further discussion on voting on what our goals will be, and also pending the comprehensive list that staff will provide. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Valerie? I'll make a motion.
Okay. Okay.
Freestanding motion.
Okay.
Say it and it's done.
Okay. Thank you all for attending.
Well done.